We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's three guys who combined to play 15 seasons in the National Football League trenches. Well, two guys. And Mackie, who didn't do shit. He just sits there and looks pretty.
This is the O-Line Committee.
Yeah, who's ready for some playoff football, boys?
Who's this ready? He's got two thumbs and can't wait. This guy. Are you kidding me? It's going to be electric.
Oh, boys. It's here. We made it. We made it to January football.
It is. It's kind of, you know, it's a little sad, too, because, like, you know, you only have, like, a month left of football, and you want to savor it.
Hey, we don't talk like that. Never in the rooms with somebody like, I'm sad, guys. It's only a month left, okay? It's only one month.
That's because in the rooms you were like, ooh, vacation's coming. I'm going to sit on my ass at home for a little bit. Like, this is, like, the silver lining, because right now, like, what people forget is everyone's now playing for the same amount of money.
Yes.
Right. Like during the season, everyone's got the pay scale, whatever. Like when you get into the playoffs, everyone's on a level playing field. Everyone's making the same amount of money. Like there is no more like hierarchy. It's just bonus, right? You're just playing with house money and you're just going, hey, we live 1 week at a time, right? 1 week at a time, one day at a time. Because the abrupt of the end of an NFL season, like, I just talked with my rookies, right? And they're just like, so they just said see you in April. And I was like, yeah, dude. Yeah, that's how it works. He goes, my O-line coach didn't even say goodbye. I go, because he got fired.
Yeah.
Like,
Welcome to the real world.
Like,
buddy.
This they call it Black Monday for a reason, pal. This is weird. I was like, yeah, so go enjoy it and see you in April.
Dude, what is such an abrupt ending? Black Monday. Terrible. What is, before we get to who's the mic, by the way, we have a final fat guy fantasy football tally here today.
About time.
We're gonna find out.
I'm calling it right now. I don't even know, but I'm calling it. I am the champion.
We'll have to see in a few minutes.
Not a chance.
What is Black Monday like as a player? I mean, you're looking around, there's all these coaches do you wake up, do you throw on like NFL Network? Are you in the building right away? Like, what is it like as a player knowing that, okay, we won five games this year and people are getting canned all around me? What's happening?
It really only happened once in my career. I mean, BA retired it when I was there. Yeah. And that was it. But other than that, like if you're, after the season, if you're not going to the playoffs, the next day sucks. I mean, it sucks because the owner's really pissed. He's like, hey, listen, I'm just going to be real with everybody. You guys suck. And if you think you're coming back to your job, I would rethink that. Like, unless you're making $50 million, you're gone. Just letting you know.
Dude, I feel like every industry needs this. You know, you're working for H&R Block, you're an accountant at H&R Block. You come in once a year on a Monday, you might get your ass canned publicly. Yeah,
they're for real too. Like they're dead ass real. And the worst is like, you'll break off and you'll go into an offensive meeting. The OC will be like, well, he's not wrong. We did it to ourselves, boys. We really screwed the pooch here. And then you break off into another meeting of the O-line coach. And he's like, well, I guess this is the last time I'm seeing you guys. You're like, Jesus, how many times am I going to be told I'm getting cut and fired in the same day? And then all of a sudden, like you leave the building and everyone's like, well, what are we going to do? And you're like, steak. You're like, steak dinner? Everybody for a steak dinner? And then we'll go on our vacation. Like, it's insane how fast, like Jay said, and you can never put into words how fast it really happens. But the minute the season's over, it's almost like you feel terrible. Like, you just instantly get sick, and you're like,
yes.
Well, now what? Well, now what am I going to do? Oh, God. Oh, my God, I got to go to the grocery store. My wife's going to make me watch the kids. Holy shit, I got to do some coaching. Oh, God, this is terrible. Oh, like, you were just so ingrained in this awesome lifestyle for the last 16 weeks, and food was always in front of you, and people were always like, shut up and go there. And you're like, okay, I don't have to think anymore. This is great. And then you just went into a whole new world of, like, going to gymnastics and sitting there like everybody else. And you're like, this is what my wife does all day? What the fuck? It's amazing. It's amazing.
This is normal, right? Civilization.
This can't be real. Dude, it is so insane. And then, like, he's not wrong, because they literally just look at you and go, well, we'll see you in April. Peace. And then April comes, and they, like, the day you show up, they just look at you like, what have you been doing? Nothing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're the one. You're definitely getting cut. You're gone. Like, it's so crazy.
Fat boy. But
the team's going on. The team's going on. Feel great. I used to remember, like, going to get pancakes, like, who's getting fired? Oh, that sucks. No, it doesn't. I should have played better. Like, dude, it is such a love-hate industry. It is so fun at times.
Yeah, I mean, the Black Monday, I don't know if I was ever really part of it for, like, walking in and being like, oh, he's gone. But I think Jeff Davidson, when he was the O-line coach for the Vikings in 15, when we walked in for our exit meetings, he was kind of, I was like, so what do you need for me for next year? And he was just like, I don't. Just keep working on yourself. I think you'll be fine. I was like,
find yourself this offseason.
Okay. Like, I was like in my second year, didn't play much during the year, was inactive a few times. And I was like, yeah, I really want to make it next year. He's like, yeah, just keep working on yourself. Like, because he knew the writing was on the wall. Like, he knew he was gone. And yeah. So, like, I think like 2 days later, he got fired. And you were like, guess I'll just work on myself. Like,
He knew he was out the door.
To be fair, I met you the next year. Okay. So
yeah,
we did is, find yeah. ourselves.
That was when Sperano came in.
A bromance was found, at least. Really.
Yeah.
Dude, but, I remember when I got there, everybody was like, I don't know if you would have liked Jeff Davidson. Do you think I would have liked him?
Yeah, because he was a vet coach.
Oh, okay.
Like he was, and that's why I struggled. And I'm not trying to poo-poo on Jeff Davidson by any means. Please don't think of that. But like, Juan Castillo was the same way. Like, some of these coaches in the league are what we call vet coaches, which is like, they're great for vets, right? They're great on the board. They're great of like, here's the scheme. Like, here's what we need to do, all these things. But they're not what I would call great developers at times. Like, mm-hmm. for the young guys where like, you're walking in like, I don't know what to do. Like, I don't know what's going on, right? So
they kind of leave it into your hands. Like,
they block the guy.
Great advice, like, but they're not fundamental guys. Like, Mike Solari was a fundamental guy. He was like, hey, let's go hit the shoots until week 17. Huh? Huh? Great idea. And you were like, no, horrible idea. I don't want to touch those things again. Or he'd come in and he'd be like, guys, it's going to be a great opportunity today. We're going to go full pads. Oh, he'd be like, week 15, he'd be like, what? He'd be like, oh, 9-on-7? It's back. Whereas like other coaches would be like, all right, listen, today, cut it back for you. I cut it way back. Catch down, do some indie, and then we call it. You're like, yeah, I like that. But Jay's right. You don't really build with those guys. Like, football is such a terrible sport that it's like, in order to get better, you have to break yourself down so hard. Like, you have to train super hard. If you're an offensive lineman, you have to work on your footwork every single day, your hand placement every day. All these things are so important. But come week 17, Jay said it. A vet coach are the guys you're like, I love you. I love you so much. And he's like, I know you're beat up. I know you're hurt. Now, here's the thing with a vet coach. If you go out and get your ass kicked, that shit changes real quick. Yeah. It goes into fundamentals till the end. Like, it's like, okay, you guys don't understand how to take advice. Okay, I'll show you how to take advice. And then the individual for like 2 hours becomes footwork. And you're like, I swear to God, I'll listen to anything he says. I'll never not listen to him again. I swear to God, I'll never not listen to him. Dude, it's crazy. It's crazy how fast they can break you down. I miss it.
What's happening in there right now? Is there like a fire alarm going off, Jay?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. There's like...
We can't hear anything, by the way. So
No, there's nothing going on. There's no lights flashing on my end. Like, I don't know what's happening.
Like, is there like an actual alarm going on? Jay is in Orlando with an Airbnb or something.
Live from Orlando. Why is there something happening?
No, you keep look. You look around,
like there's somebody in the house.
Is it me? Is it me? Or is it just me? Or is it my like screen flashing?
No, you're good.
It's just you're having a seizure. I think
it must just be. It must just be.
It's the CTE, dude. Yeah,
you're good. Is everything flashing and blinking? No, Jay.
No. It looks like on my screen right now. It looks like my like there is like a fire alarm flashing. So I was looking around like, am I stupid?
Are you guys slurring your words, or am I about to?
As long as I'm not puking this morning, everything is fine.
It's great. Hey, okay. I'm gonna start with the first. I'm gonna start with the first mic.
We're dive deep in. It's big, baby. Let's go.
And it's not just the mic I'm identifying. It's all of the mics. It's several mics. It's all of the coaches we've lost on Black Monday week here. And here's my question for you. Yeah, where's Sarah McLachlan?
Will you remember me?
A little black and white still shot of Mike Vrabel.
Hey, Lee
Arthur Smith lighting up Dennis Allen.
It's coming.
They're just walking into the sunset. They're walking into the sunset and they do the look back behind their shoulder.
Narrator comes
in. See you guys.
Mike Vrabel took a Titans team to the playoffs three different times.
I love Vrabel, dude. That was.
All right, hold on. Let Mikey go before we just keep interrupting him. We just keep interrupting him.
Here's my mic. Mikey. Here's the mic. Okay. I want you to so my mic is the fallen coaches this week, but I want you guys to rank these job openings as of right now. So these are the job openings as of right now.
Here we go.
We got Chargers open. We got Titans open. I think the Raiders shouldn't be open for long.
I don't think it is.
So we'll leave the Raiders on. You guys can do whatever you want. Panthers, Falcons, Commanders. I'm going to assume Patriots on this list too.
I'm going to have to write this.
You ready?
Down. Go again. Okay. Hold
rank
on.
Them. Chargers, Titans, Raiders, Panthers, Falcons, Commanders, Patriots. I'm assuming as of the recording of this podcast, nothing official, but rank those if you're Jim Harbaugh.
Number one.
Okay.
By far. Harbaugh. Number one is
Jim Harbaugh's not leaving Michigan.
Dude, I don't know.
Right.
I feel like we've had that discussion three different times.
One is Chargers.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
Do you agree that two would be Chicago?
Dude.
I didn't put Chicago on the list.
I'm going to say Chicago's not on the list.
Oh, my bad. Not Chicago. What was it?
I mean, they might be at some point.
They're not.
No, they're not.
I think,
not.
Honestly, you know, as weirdly as I think number two is going to be the Commanders. I think because you have the second overall pick. Right, so you're going to get a chance to go stake your claim on a quarterback, right?
And you got Bob Myers and Rick Spielman heading up the job search. Your former boss, Rick Spielman,
figuring it out. And I think like that roster has some talent on it, right? You talk about Payne in the middle, Jonathan Allen in the middle on defense. You got Dotson, Terry McLaurin, right? I mean, it's got some dudes. Robinson in the backfield. Like, they were just kind of missing. Sam Howell just wasn't it, right? Sam Howell wasn't it. And so I think, like, you get Drake May in there, you go draft an edge rusher, you get some corners. Like, I like the Commanders as the second job there.
You know, it's not a bad idea. I think the biggest thing for me is the edge rushers.
Like, well, dude, you got rid of Sweat, and then you got rid of Young. And so
how long is it going to take you to get a dominant defense? Like, dude,
there's always edge rushers in free agency, though. There's always edge rushers.
What's their cap?
That's the thing. That's another question.
You have to know what the cap is, because somebody coming in is going to want to know what's my cap.
God, you guys are listening. I like the detail here. The Commanders, you'll be happy to know, have the most cap space of any team.
Oh, they definitely are too, because you got a lot of money to play with, and the two overall.
Actually, so if you do, so I'm going to
and a quarterback on a rookie contract.
Yep.
If they draft a quarterback, yes, which they
when draft they draft a quarterback,
they could trade back, get an extra first round pick.
Stop! You've been covering the Vikings for too long.
I was going to say Spielman too long.
You've been covering the Vikings
that's
for too
not
long.
Not really going
to
happen.
Just start trading them. The just Vikings trade back to and two. Acquire
get more.
Just acquire get more.
No, it's a terrible idea.
Do nothing with it. Do it again next year.
Here's the cap space. Here's the cap space. The Titans actually have the most what's called effective cap space, and then it's the Commanders number two, and the Patriots are number three.
Patriots are definitely going to be four in this equation, but I think between the Titans, just because the same thing, you have a young quarterback, you have a good foundation. Dude, Vrabes set a great culture, and that's who is going to be my two, is because everybody there, they know how to win. They're a good team. I think just this is the product of over time, eventually ownership is like, hey, got to go. It's just the way it is.
It's a performance-based league.
Right.
What have you done for me lately?
New flow coming in. We need new energy. We need something. And I think everybody admits that. Like, they're like, Vrabes is a great coach. And I'm almost positive he's going to end up at the Patriots. Like, if something does happen to Bill,
be a D coordinator. This is I think he'll be at least a D coordinator if Bill's
there. This is too perfect for him to go back there. One of the guys that helped build that whole championship run, one of the guys that bought in, one of the guys that you hear about constantly. And Vrabes is, without a doubt, one of the greatest guys you will ever meet. Like, he is a dude's fucking dude, which is why I love him to death. He ran the hardest I've ever seen a guy run. He used to come back and do the conditioning test with us at Ohio State. And Jay, you know I was wild, man, dude. I was always out drinking and shit. And Vrabes was just like me. And so he would be out too. And I'd be like, there's no way this dude's showing up tomorrow. 6 a.m. there he was running with the DBs. And I was like, no way this guy's going to last this entire time. Just gasser after gasser after sweet. One time, Tress made us touch every stair in the Ohio Stadium. And between every row, you had to go do 5 gassers. And this was the big test before he let us go home for July 4th. That was it. Like, you were just going home for the weekend. He was like, all right, we're going to run to the stadium. You're going to run every stair in the stadium, but between every section, so like bottom section, middle section, upper section, and then the shoe was its own section, you're going to run 5 gassers. And then at the end, you're going to run 5. So Vrabes is running with the DBs, leading the entire charge. I was like, there's no way this guy's going to last. The end of this thing, this dude looked at everybody like, hey, who's fucking running back with me? And I was like, I'll walk back. I could probably walk back with that dude.
Take an Uber. Like, we'll take an Uber.
That's why he's a great leader, because he doesn't lead from above. He leads from in front. And that's how he's always been. Like, he's just that guy. I actually played Vrabes once. He was the meanest son of a bitch I ever played. I mean, meaner than London Fletcher. And London Fletcher was the meanest person I ever met. That's why I love Vrabes. That's the culture that he kind of instills when he goes to places. And going back to the Patriots would be so ideal. I would fuck the DC. Make the man the head coach.
I don't have the Patriots as high as you because, man, you want to follow Bill Belichick? Like, you want to step
perfect guy
in.
To do it.
Oh, man. Like, think about the guys that, like, had to step
somebody's
in. Like,
somebody's
got to
do
Jones.
It, too, dude.
I agree. Someone has to do it. But, like, desirable, right? We're talking about desirable jobs here. Like, do you want to be
the
guy that, like,
pick, don't they?
You want to come in, though? You want to come in and be like, okay. For you, like, every question you're going to have, he's like, what did Bill do? You're going to be compared to Bill. It's like we talked about our first show with Jordan Love this year, where it's like, you know, every single time, like, well, he's got a little Aaron Rodgers in him, Colin Coward or Colin Collinsworth voice, where it's just like, I don't know. I don't know if you want to be that guy. Like, I don't. I also, like, it'd be so weird to see a different kind of defensive scheme in the Patriots world, like, all of that. And, I mean, in reality, though,
he's the best guy to take it.
I agree. Bravel would be the guy to take it, but I don't know if he's. I don't know if he gets hired as a head coach again right away.
He will. I guarantee
you. I don't know. So Patriots. I'll probably go Titans number 2 as well.
Okay. Whoa, wow. So Titans. So Chargers. We're all saying Chargers number 1.
Chargers are 1.
No, excuse me. Titans 3.
Commanders.
Titans 3.
Jay said Commanders. Yeah. I'm saying 2 is Titans. I'll give 3 to the Commanders. 4 is, for me, is the Patriots because they draft 3. What's their cap space?
They have a lot.
You said Patriots?
They have a lot.
Yeah, third most cap space.
Then they're 3. They're for third, sure, yeah. 3. 4 is...
The Chargers don't have much cap space, though, if I recall. But they have a really talented...
Yeah, you've got defensive play. Yeah, they're actually, right now, they're $53 million over the cap in effective cap space, so they've got some cleaning up to do.
What about the Falcons? Kick the can down the road, boys.
Yep.
That's the first thing you guys got to walk in saying.
Yeah, who wants some signing bonus money up front?
Who cares?
So Falcons have a top 10 pick. Falcons have, they've got some star skill position players. Mm-hmm. And I would say that ownership group, Arthur Blank, at a couple different times in the last 20 years, has put together good structure, early 2000s, and then again with Shanahan as the offensive coordinator, Dan Quinn. And so, I mean, they can build something in Atlanta. I would actually go Chargers 1. I think you guys make good points about, even though the Commanders and Patriots are just train wrecks this year, the fact that you have top 3 picks, tons of cap space.
And you can make crazy decisions right away. And people are like, well,
I might put the Falcons.
You got to remember how many picks the Commanders have, too. They got rid of Claypool, or not Claypool. They got rid of Chase Young, and they got rid of Sweat for picks.
For number 2
picks. So yeah. they're gonna have a lot of they got to draft well, right? But that also comes down to risk of drafting. You know, there's always risk that comes with draft picks, but if they can draft well, they'll be just fine.
One more thing on the Falcons, actually, too. That division right now, I know that there's the Panthers are 2-15, the Saints and Buccaneers. I mean, if you come in there, if you're the Falcons, it doesn't take a lot to get to like
anybody
10 or 11
can overtake
wins
that conference for years, mm-hmm. too. It's always been, dude, have you noticed for a while, this is the one that's been like,
Well, it was just like what used to be the AFC East.
Yeah.
Right. It was just like someone's got to win. Right. Like, dude. It was like the Patriots have it. And then you had the NFC East, too, and like the Cowboys and like the Giants used to backdoor their way into the playoffs with like a 9-7 record every year.
Dude, I'm telling you, the Falcons could easily run that division for a while. I agree that it was a good team. It's just the way that everything ended that whole year just really made me feel weird about that team. But I'll get into it in a minute.
We'll get there. We'll get there. We got a lot of time.
No
today.
Love for the Panthers but, in no, this the past Panther, opening no. conversation.
Just because of ownership, what you're going to deal with when you get there, you're going to be like, listen, I love this guy. And the owner's going to be like, shut up. I own the team. I do what I want. You're going to be like, wait a minute. I thought I was the expert. You're the money guy.
I thought I was saying, all of a sudden, drink, bang, side of the face. You're like, oh, I'm sorry.
Dude, is there a thing about the precedent? So has there ever been, I don't know, we have to Google this, but like, has there ever been a team that drafts a quarterback number one overall and then 8 months later, the coach and the general manager are both fired? I mean, think about how insane
Cleveland,
that is.
Maybe.
Yeah, Cleveland would be the only other franchise that would somehow have done that.
Hey, they're in the playoffs. Laugh all you know.
Dude, hey, and they're dangerous.
Joe Flacco's waking up in the morning. Just taking all his pills out of his little boxes, right?
It's Tuesday. Got to eat them all. Got to get my Centrum Silver. Fucking Joe Flacco. I hate that guy.
No, I mean, you can't. I mean, the Panthers are, dude, they're in a lot of trouble.
Oh,
they don't have any picks, right? You traded all your picks away for DJ Moore.
Number one pick.
You have cap space, but not enough to really, in my opinion, make a difference. And so your draft picks, they haven't really hit, right? Ikem Ekwonu was their first round pick, their left tackle. He had a really tough year. He was this year. Bryce Young obviously had a really tough year. Adam Thielen was your wide receiver one at 80 years old, right? Like, couldn't tell you. Brian Burns is your defensive guy. Sean, I think it's Lavuhu. Like, he's a good linebacker, but they just don't have the star power, and in my opinion, they don't have the veteran leadership on that team to really find a way to turn it around. Now, you can go buy some dudes in free agency, but if I'm a free agent.
Oh yeah, you're
there's
looking
a premium,
that.
And there's no premium. Draft capital, dude.
You want me to come play for you in Carolina? Well, I know I'm not winning the Super Bowl. I know I'm not getting a playoff check. So if Cincinnati's going to offer me $13 million a year, well, it's going to be a minimum 15 or 16 for you to pick me up, yep. Right? And that's what Carolina's going to have to fight this year is there's a premium, right? It used to be like the Bill Belichick tax or like the Detroit tax, like. It was, hey, if you want me to come here, you got to pay me more because I know this is a train wreck. I know what kind of practices you guys run. Like,
oh, yeah.
There is definitely levels to free agency. And Boone, you could probably speak to this when you had teams in free agency where it's like, hey, you want to go there? It's like, for the right price, I want to go there. Versus like if you wanted to go chase a ring and go places, like that's a very real thing.
Yeah, no, I agree. And to be fair, thankfully, all the teams that were in on me at the time were playoff bound. So it was like, this is going to be a lot of fun. And it, coming from Frisco at the year that we were like 2-14. What are you talking about? It came off a terrible year, dude. I was like, God,
sensitive.
This is... I know. It was so bad. It was tough. Can I get into my mic yet? Or
yeah, who's your mic? Cool? New mic.
Dude, I never thought I would do this. I never thought this guy would be my mic. But I am so excited. I'm excited because of the reactions that I'm getting from everybody online. Hilarious. Can I just say that, number one, Arthur Smith, you're a real pussy. Like, dude, they score on the last play and you go start a fight on the 50-yard line at the logo. Dude, Dennis Allen was like, bro, I got it. Like, you're mad. And he was like, no, you don't understand. I'm really mad. And he was like, I got it. You're fucking mad. Get over it. Like, what do you want me to do? But the fact that they called a touchdown on that play made me laugh so hard. And now the fact that everyone's coming out and is like, you know what? Fuck Atlanta. That dude's the best. Jameis Winston, good for you for calling that shit. Like, that's your boy. And Jameis Winston, did you see the interview?
It's the weirdest.
Amazing, dude. He's literally like, I'm trying to be as respectful.
It couldn't happen to a better person. It couldn't happen. Like, as soon as I saw it was Jameis, I was like, oh, this is going to be an absolute shit show.
But dude,
like,
have you seen everybody coming out talking about Jameis? They're like, literally, like, this dude is one of the greatest guys ever. They're like, he is one of the coolest dudes. Like, dude, get off his ass. And clearly it was an offensive decision. Like, somebody in that huddle must have said something like, hey, let's just hand the ball to Jamal. Like, let's just
Jameis,
do it.
I promise you on my life that it was
but
that dude.
Somebody else had to co-sign it. Somebody big in that huddle had to go, let's do it. Like, no one just goes out there and goes, hey, I'm going to hand the ball. And the O-line had to be like, all right, we're in on it. Because it's literally victory. I'm not stepping anywhere. I'm literally stepping down and I'm done. So for me to drive somebody off the ball, you're going to have to really convince me to want to do this. And that's why I'm saying, like, this whole scenario was just incredible. And then the fact that every single fan is like, how dare you score points in a football game? How dare you? Made me laugh so hard.
Like, why are people so sensitive over
who exactly cares? What is no. it? Your goddamn business. Right.
And then I'm gonna fight thing. You on this.
Okay, I
really?
Hope you do.
Oh, okay.
Here's another
a little sensitive. Bit. I'm gonna fight you a little bit on this.
Sensitive.
I'm gonna fight you a
Here
little bit.
Here we go. You ready?
Ding. I have no problem. Zero problem whatsoever with them lining up and running a play, but why would you do it out of victory formation?
Okay,
I have no problem. Yeah, you want to score a touchdown? Sweet. Trips left, 42 zone, right? No problem. Run a fucking play, but to do it out of victory is chicken shit.
That's chicken shit for me.
Like if you're gonna line up in victory, because how many times Boone flip it on the other side, flip it on the other side. We line up in victory formation, and they're like, "Hey, you taking a knee?" And you're like, "Yep, we're good." And then a D lineman tees off on you, and you're like, "Mother!" Like you get so pissed, like the game is over, right? And they're like, "Nope, game's not over. It's still football, right?" That used to happen all the time, and then you're just like, "Okay, sure, asshole." And so now you flip it on the other side where you line up in victory, you're getting your teeth kicked in. It's the last game of the season. You're already thinking about your Bahama vacation with your wife in the bikini, and you're like, oh, it's going to be great. And then all of a sudden, you're getting just ran, dive right through the middle.
One
like,
yard.
Come but on. Don't just line up and run a play then. Just line up and run a play. Listen, I don't care. I agree with you. If you don't want them to score, don't score. Play better defense. But don't hide behind victory formation and some chicken shit and then be like, well, we just called a
play.
Think, like,
let
no,
me ask
you
this.
Didn't.
So
no, you didn't. You lined up and you were like, just we're gonna tease them and we're going to fight them and then I'm just going to hand it to the guy here. Like that for me was – and also like I just wish – I wish I could be in the mind of Dennis Allen as that happened and be like, what the fuck is going on? Like, did I not just call victory formation? Did they fumble? Like, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh well, game's over. And then you walk across and there's Arthur Smith. They're just like, you're like, oh, this is not going to be good.
Dude, and Jameis, like, after the game, Jameis is like, listen, it was a team decision. I do feel bad for DA. I do feel bad for DA, but it was a team decision. I do apologize.
I loved it. I do apologize. I thought it was a great ending to the AFC South. Like, that's the best way that
NFC South.
Sorry. Dude, that was – I loved it. I'm sorry. I thought it was –
Do you think it came up – so there's 40 seconds on the play clock, 25 seconds, whatever, in there. So Jameis says, screw this. We're running the ball.
Well, I just want to know why.
Do you think anyone pushed back a little and said, then let's not do it out of victory? Or it was like, guys, we got to go now. There's 15 seconds left.
No, I think that's probably what happened.
I think he walked in and he's like, hey – Should we get Williams a touchdown? And they're like, yeah. He's like, all right, victory, but we're handing off. Ready, break. And I was like, oh, the fuck. And like just ran up the line of scrimmage, right? Like, that's exactly how that happened.
God, dude. Yeah, Jay's not wrong. Because if somebody would have said that to me, I'd be like, okay, here we go.
You don't want to delay a game on the last play of the game. You just look like an asshole, right? So you're just like, okay, on one.
would you guys, so Shannon Sharp came out on his podcast or on ESPN, whatever platform he was on, and he said that, I think it was Shannon Sharp. If it's not Shannon Sharp, I just did a drive-by of Shannon Sharp for no reason, that Jameis should be cut. That you should cut him for, like, insubordination and
I think you should find him conduct detrimental. You have, dude, listen, even as much as we love it, and I agree with Boone, I love it. You want to score? Fine, don't let him score. You cannot publicly throw your head coach and say, I don't listen to you. I do what Jameis wants. Right? Like, that's what he basically said to the world. It's like, we just overruled our head coach. Like, we told him, like, yeah, your suggestions are cute, but we make the ultimate decision. And you're the backup quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, you're not even the starter. Like, you have to fine him. You might have to cut him because insubordination, those roots, those things run deep now, right? And you just need, like, it's a very sticky situation for Dennis Allen to be in. I think you probably have to either fine him conduct detrimental and take a bunch of his money and be like, you, this is unacceptable. We don't do this in this organization. I am the front piece, like, and come out and get in front of it. Or you just cut him and be like, we don't do that. You can't just let this slide.
Or
this
you is not something Dennis you can Allen. Just, do you fire Dennis Allen? Yeah, or you lose in the locker room.
But that's kind of what that
is. Hey, I know your quarterback threw you under the bus, but get your shit.
And go. You're fired.
All right, listen.
You lost the locker room guy. Sorry. Boone,
I found the whole situation.
I'm listening. I'm getting more coffee because it's freaking early. Listen. I'm listening to you.
It's earlier
promise,
for us than it is
coffee.
For you.
I don't care, Maggie.
It's 5:30.
He's on Eastern time, this guy.
I will say this. I thought the situation was hilarious. That's why I mic'd him. Like, just the whole situation, the way he handled it. But Jay's right. As much as I might laugh at somebody else's expense, and this one is a little bit kind of silly, it's going to be very bad the way this ends, because Jay's right, and you kind of just brought it up too. If I'm the owner, I'm starting to already think, like, has this dude lost the locker room?
I know.
I've never seen insubordination like this. Like, yeah, dude, and it was funny because being an O-lineman, it's like, finally, they just took somebody off guard and, like, did something. Like, it was just – it seemed harmless to me. But the more we talk about it, the more I'm like, oh, shit, he's definitely getting cut, because you can't do that. If the one guy ruling everything says, hey, take a knee, you take a knee. And I get what they did, and I get why everybody was excited, and I get why everyone's like, get off his ass. This was a team decision. But you're right. Now it's making it look even worse, because it's like, yeah, all 11 guys in the huddle didn't want to believe in the head man. And now it's like, oh, God, it's getting worse. And I never really thought about it like that. But, yeah, dude, Shannon's right. You're going to have to cut him. You're going to have to bring him in and tell him straight to his face, like, you did something really bad. And now you start to look at the rest of his career, and it's like – see, sometimes, and this is why I was always bad at making decisions sometimes, and I always leaned on my agent, because I would have been like, I was kind of like Jameis, like, what's wrong? He just scored a touchdown. But the more you think about it, the more you're like,
if I would have had a client on the Saints O-line, I'd have been like, you walk up to your head coach and you fucking apologize.
Or you tell me you had nothing to do with it.
You'd be like, listen, I had nothing to do with this. Like, I didn't know what was going on. Like, because if you're not a guy, that's what I mean. Like, Jameis is a backup, right? Like, if it's Derek Carr, if it's Alvin Kamara, like, dude, if you're not a guy, you are expendable. Yeah. Like, and you are always being looked to be replaced. And this could be the reason they're just like, oh, this dude, just get him out. We'll find someone else that can stand there. Right, like, I don't know. I think this could actually get really ugly for Jameis.
I do too. Now that I'm thinking about it,
and knowing Jameis, I could see him coming out publicly and turning this into a problem for Dennis Allen.
Yeah, he's not good enough. Like, there's a chance that he might not play in the NFL again. Is that a hot take? I think he might not play in the NFL. He'll be a backup.
Is he good enough to overcome this type of thing? He's never going to be the guy again. This goes back to what you and I, I'm sure we've talked about on the show, the scales of power that be in the NFL, right? As long as your on-field performance, I can't do it because I have a mic in my hand, but as long as your on-field performance is above your off-field shenanigans, you're fine.
Jameis is starting to flirt. It's the talent to baggage ratio.
Jameis is starting to flirt with that off-field performance nonsense, but Jay, overruling his play.
Mackie makes up a great point. If I'm ownership, I'm starting to look at this like, has he lost the team? And has this dude just created almost kind of like something? And then all of a sudden, I'm the next team, and I'm like, do I want to bring this in? He didn't listen last time. That's why I'm saying this is – and I don't think about these kind of things. Like, in the moment, you're a football player, and you're like, yeah, you like that, right? But then you turn around, and that's when you would have walked to the locker room. And in the moment, I probably would have been like, we're in a lot of trouble. Dudes, we shouldn't have done that. We should not have –
dude, what do you think that post-game speech was like? You just steamrolled your division rival. And, like, I think – I just imagine, like, everyone taking their tape off, like, really quietly. Like, no one's really talking. Because everyone's like, I think we're in trouble. And then Dennis Allen walks in, everybody up. And you're like, oh, God, yep, we're in trouble. Yep. But it's time to just, we're going to wear this one legit.
DA took it really well, though. Can I just say that? Like, the fact that Arthur Smith was going crazy and DA was like, I know. Like, in his mind, he had to be like, I'm going to kill everybody. I know, dude. Yeah. He literally just kept saying, I know. Like, I'm going to handle it. Lock the doors. Lock them. when you heard that, you were like, hey, put your helmet back on. Shit's going to be flying.
Dude, when they walk in, lock the doors, cameras down. Because, like, all the team cameras are in there. Like, hey, lock the door. Lock the door. No cameras. Cameras down. You're like, oh, this is going to be bad.
We're not putting this up on the Saints YouTube channel.
Nobody wants
this
to
isn't the who's got it better than us chant.
No. Dude, I'm telling you right now. Hey, that's going to be my next mic.
Hold on.
I'll
new
let
mic.
You go first, though.
New mic.
My mic?
Your mic.
Mm-hmm. All right. My mic. I'm just going to bring this up because I think it's a hilarious story. Wink Martindale is AWOL from the New York Giants.
I love it.
And the stories that keep coming out of New York's media are wild.
They are wild.
Right? Like I was reading up on it last night.
I went
down a deep rabbit hole laying in bed last night. Right? Like it went from, I think, after Black Friday, right? They fired the O-line coach in New York. They fired the special teams coordinator. Like, they fired all these guys. And then, like, 5 to 6 hours later, you get an alert that's like, Wink Martindale has resigned his position as defensive coordinator. And you're like, well, okay, that's kind of weird. Like, I don't know why you just resigned. Because as a coach, you never just resign because you're not, you always have guaranteed money. Right. So you basically make them fire you. Right. Like, no, you just fire me because I want my guarantees. And then the next day, it comes out where the Giants have like, well, he has not officially resigned. We have not officially fired him, but we can't get a hold of him. Dude, and everyone's like, wait,
he's turned into a player.
The New York Post story is like the first two paragraphs. So it says, if Wink Martindale has resigned his position as the Giants defensive coordinator, he is advised to notify the Giants of this decision. As of Tuesday morning, the team had not heard anything from Wink Martindale, who stormed out of the building on Monday and Tuesday morning was on a flight headed back home to Florida.
Yeah, dude, and that's the best part is like someone like took pictures of him at the airport. Like it looked like he went straight from work. He still had his like his blue vest on, his white hat, his angry red face, and like and he was just at like going heading home to Sarasota, baby. Like and for people that are like, well, yeah, season's over. That's not how it works for coaches. Like, season ends, like we talked about the abruptness for players, right? Like they kick the players out and they're like, see you in April. And then it is deep into, okay, what are we doing in the draft? Who are we keeping in free agency? Like self-scouting, like all of this. And so you for a defensive like? Coordinator to just go literally AWOL is wild. And then the story comes out that him and Dable got in a screaming match on Monday. Yeah. And then it's like they got in a screaming match, and apparently there's been some bad blood between those two guys since
throughout the season,
like Thanksgiving second. Time with the Cowboys first,
Cowboys, yeah.
The Cowboys mm-hmm. second game, where apparently Dable had approached Wink about, hey, Tommy DeVito's our starting quarterback. We need to be a little different in the approach in which we do things. Like maybe don't gamble as much because we need to make them drive, keep things in front of you. And Wink was like, cool, and didn't do it. And then like you saw like Dable and him at halftime walking in like like because Dable's a very animated person, Wink's a very animated person.
Oh yeah.
And I think from there I think everything just kind of started to fray and fizzle. And so I don't know what was said. I don't think anyone does. Like, but this is like Game of Thrones, like behind the scenes, like stuff going on. And apparently Wink and Dable had a huge blow up on Monday. The report is Wink slammed the door as they yelled at each other on the way out and was like, I'm going home to Florida.
Okay, obvious dumb question. So if midway through the season, head coach is pissed at defensive coordinator for insubordination or not following, you know, his vision for the game plan, and then exit interview discussion, there's a blow up. Why doesn't head coach and front office just fire defensive coordinator? Why like that's where I'm tripped up on this. Why just get a new defensive coordinator?
I don't that there's got to be a reason, and I don't know. This is what I mean. Like there's behind the scenes things at work here that none of us know about, because the easy answer is, yeah, fire him, hire someone else, right? But maybe it's an owner decision. Maybe it's a Joe Sheen decision. Like there's a lot of people that have to go in. I don't think Dable has enough control of that organization at the moment to just be like, fire him, right? And I think because he's like, I still want to keep my job. So maybe it's Joe Sheen saying like, no, we want Wink back. Maybe it's a bunch of players that were like, hey, we're only coming back here if Wink's back, Right. There's a lot of situations and a lot of like things that go into navigating this. But yeah, I honestly think at the end of the day, it's going to end with the Giants eventually just firing Wink Martindale, paying him his $3 million and heading on his way. But this is just like classic week after the season drama where you're just like, oh, yeah, baby, here we go. Grab my popcorn and let's just follow. Let's follow the flight tracker. The flight tracker from Sarasota to the Giants to see who's coming back.
I just found there's these New York Post photos of him at the airports. You know, he always wears like the Under Armour or like the white undershirt, long shirt with his vest. He's literally walking through the airport with a coffee in his defensive coordinator outfit.
Dude, it looks like he went straight from work. Like, I don't think he went home. I think he got pissed off at work. He got in his car and he pulled up his Delta app and was like, Sarasota, bing, and just drove straight to the airport.
Dude, hey, have you ever seen those movies? And I think
left his car parked in the front, so they just tow it away.
Yeah, tow it, tosses him the keys. Like, I'm out of here. I'm never coming back to this hellhole. They owe me $3 million. I'll pay you. That could be a decision, but I think Jay brings up an even better one is the players may have came in and been like, listen, Wink's our dude. Wink stays or I'm gone. Like that becomes tough when the players are asking for that. But after the season, Jay's right. And I think in the Wolf of Wall Street, there's a big scene where everyone's just shredding papers and like burning shit. That's literally what the Monday looks like. And then it's crazy because when you go upstairs, you just see him shredding everything. They're like, well, that was a waste. And then literally they kick you out. And like Jay said, they just turn right around and they're like, all right, next year, let's start game planning. Like they just, it's insane, dude.
Can you see this? No, this is the wrong.
Yes.
No,
yes.
Yeah,
yes.
There we go. There we go. Look at him.
Dude, yeah. No luggage. No luggage.
The first one looks like he's walking into a game. Yeah. Dude, are those the Kobe's? Is he wearing Kobe's?
Oh, dude. I just, he's
can you
just
zoom
like,
in on that?
I'm going home. I'm not doing this. I'm not
doing this.
Oh, man. Oh, it's so funny.
So, all right, new mic. Booney, who's here? Let's do one more mic here, and then we got to get to our picks. We got super wild card weekend. We got fat guy fantasy dumb football questions.
All right, I'm gonna do it. I can't believe I'm actually gonna say this, but my next mic's gonna have to be Harbaugh, dude. Just because, did you see his press conference after the game? We're innocent. We're innocent. The guy asked him, he goes, hey, did the season probably didn't go the way you expected? He was like, went exactly the way I wanted it. We're innocent. Like, I'm telling you, if he gets a hold of one of these teams, you better watch out because he's on fire right now. If you ever really looked at his resume too, everywhere he goes, it always San Diego State. Like, we knew about it when he came to us. They were talking about how he just goes into a place and changes the culture. And you're like, and at first, you're kind of like, I don't know how he could change the culture of grown men. But okay. And like 6 months later, you're like, wow, it's insane how fast you buy on board. I'm telling you right now, there isn't any comment. And if I had to speculate, I would say he's gone. Why? Because he is a very, very competitive person. And his brother right now is number one front runner walking into the Super Bowl for the AFC. And I feel like Jim is like, hey, you know what? There's no way I'm going to let John get two. And me only have one here. I got to go up to the next level and go compete with him. Like, that's just how he is. He's very ultra competitive. I'm telling you, dude. And plus, like we talked about before, you can keep talking about all the leverage you want. He has all the leverage. Guys, I'm doing it. Every day I'm in here, I'm doing it. I'm changing the culture at Michigan. If he turned around and said, I want $200 million, they'd go, okay. He doesn't have to leverage a team against it. He could just say, hey, I want more. And after 125, what are you really asking for, dude? Like, do you want to be the president of the school too? That's why, in my opinion, it's more like, hey, listen, I really love you guys, and I love what we did here. Sharon's time to take over. I'm bouncing out of here. Like, that's why I'm like, man, if I were him, I would have signed it already. I'd have been like, yeah, I'm here. I'm committed. You want everybody to know I'm committed to this. You want the recruits to know. You need the next year's class to know. These kids always need to know that you're bought in. So for him to be like, I'm just going to enjoy this. It's Jim's way of deflecting. Hey, I'm just here to have fun. Yeah, we're not talking business. He's always good at deflecting. And that's
he doesn't care about like these. Dude, 2 years ago when he spent like 9 or 10 hours interviewing for the Vikings job before they hired O'Connell, that was on National Signing Day. He doesn't care. National Signing Day, like he has his own schedule. He has his own drumbeat. Mm-hmm. By the way, he is the clear odds-on favorite according to various like odds makers to be the Chargers' next head coach. So there's a 68% implied probability he's the next Chargers head coach. Like Ben Johnson is like 17%. Bill Belichick, 14%.
He's used to San Diego, and that's a very familiar place for him. That's why it would not be weird for him to go down there.
What about Los Angeles? Is he used to Los Angeles, which is where the Chargers are?
Oh, I'm sorry. Mm. Yeah, I mean, the whole L.A., San Diego scene is the same.
He could vacation and
drive down the road
from San Diego.
Take the five.
Same old place. Have you ever been down there? It's all the same down there. Gorgeous.
It's just LA sucks, 82 dude. Degrees.
You couldn't pay me to live in L.A.
What if you could just take the weather?
No,
yeah, that's what I'm
and
saying.
Not the traffic.
No,
the taxes.
You don't get one of these. You pay for your sunshine out there. 13.1%.
Oh, we paid heavily. We paid heavily. Yeah,
that's what I tell people all the time. Like, I remember I got my first check in San Diego. I was like, "What the hell is this?" They go, "That's the sunshine tax. That's to you pay forget, to live here,
dude." You forget how good you felt every day. You didn't wake up in a rainy, snowy, icy where you're like, "My fingers hurt."
I hated it.
Yeah, Jay, you're paying $40 a month for your vitamin D supplement.
Yeah,
you get it by walking outside in California.
I got one more, Mike, and we don't have to labor the point too much. I think it's just really been a very entertaining saga to watch over the course of the last, call it a year. The Aaron Rodgers thing on Pat McAfee just is getting out of hand. Like, he's entertaining, and everyone knows at this point, Aaron's like your 80-year-old grandpa that just like sits at the back of the party and says outlandish, outrageous things. And some may be true, some may not be true, but you're just like, what? What's wrong with you? Dude. Right? And now it's got to the point where like him and the Saturday Night Live guy,
he was Man Show with Adam Carolla in the 90s, and he's doing
the late show. I don't watch any of that nonsense. Him and Jimmy Kimmel are at war over Epstein Island. Just how absurd is that statement that I just said?
Yeah,
Aaron Rodgers,
on ESPN,
starting quarterback for the Jets. Kimmel, late night talk show host, are at war over Epstein's Island on Pat McAfee ESPN show. What is happening?
Dude,
like, it's just the most absurd thing to follow. And like once Kimmel clapped back, because like everyone kind of agreed, like, oh, Aaron just says things, right? He calls Kelsey Mr. Pfizer and he hates Big Pharma and all that stuff. But as soon as Kimmel clapped back, I was like, uh-oh.
He's
like, Aaron's not just gonna take this laying down. Like, Aaron's not just
he's
gonna like,
too
oh,
big
he's
of
just
he's too big of a narcissist to just let something go or ever admit that he was wrong about it. Have you ever heard Aaron Rodgers admit that he was wrong about something?
This is going to get ugly. It's going to get so bad.
And the message is, imagine like, so Jay and I are having a war on the podcast, and I say, you know what? Jay's going to be pretty nervous because I heard he was on Epstein Island or whatever, right? And Jay comes back vehemently and says, I will sue you. That is a clear smearing of my name. I will sue you. And then I come back narcissistically and say, I wouldn't have said it without some evidence.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, cryptic, like, what is he doing? And then he's
apparently
talking about,
apparently Aaron's got the in with the government on these Epstein lists. I mean,
Aaron's
got
the in with
Aaron's
got
a guy.
He's got a guy.
Aaron has a YouTube channel that he probably sits and watches all day, conspiracy theories and whatever.
Well, the problem is too, and McAfee is now fighting his executive. So like there's a massive war being started on McAfee's show, and you're like, wait a minute, he's fighting him and he's fighting Jimmy Kimmel. Why is he fighting? It's a great point. Why are you fighting Jimmy Kimmel? Dude, what are you doing? Jimmy Kimmel, what are you even? Dude, stop. Stop it. You're right. You've got an NFL football player and a talk show host fighting about something that is like, and it's being brought into. Could you imagine being in that locker room? Oh, my God.
Then Aaron gets up at the podium for the exit interview with the Jets. And with a straight face says, the biggest thing here is anything that doesn't have to do with winning, we got to get that shit out of the locker room right now. It's like,
or your weekly updates with Pat McAfee. Like, I mean, I think Pat's paying him a small fortune. I think Pat's paying him a small fortune to come on. Cause I mean, the amount of clicks and likes and stuff that he generates from having Aaron Rodgers on and then having Grandpa Rodgers say outlandish things like
in his wine room.
Yeah. I mean, it is absurd. It is absolutely absurd. And I'm not picking a side here. I just the popcorn and watching it. And then, like to have come right around and McAfee being like, ESPN is sabotaging me. It's like, dude, didn't we see this movie before with Barstool? Like, didn't this exact same thing happen with Barstool? Like, you felt sabotaged. You felt like, and then Portnoy came out. Like, there's a common denominator here, dude. Like,
but a couple things.
You're just kind of outlandish, and I love your show. I think it's great. But you have to understand, like, you're never going to be everyone's acquired taste ever. Like, that's just his nature of his podcast.
But this is the beauty of it. No matter what, this is a huge win for McAfee because even if this, just like it was for Barstool, Barstool got five. They got one episode. Pardon my take, in a van, basically, right? Got one episode, and then the fallout from the partnership exploding, I think, elevated Barstool to a new level. No matter what, McAfee comes out of this with a bigger audience, more awareness, if they cut ties. But if you were ESPN, what were you expecting to happen?
Right.
You're bringing in, and it's this, you're right, it's the same thing as Barstool. It's like, let's bring, this is a popular young digital show. We need to get more YouTube friendly, right? Let's bring this partnership in. And the danger for ESPN is, so McAfee called out this, is it Norby Williamson, one of the top, like,
execs.
For 20 years, he's been one of their top, like, shadow executives.
No big deal. Just call out your top guy.
You don't hear Scott Van Pelt and, you know, you don't hear some of these other guys. Mike Greenberg, they're not calling this guy out because they are employees of ESPN. Their contract can be terminated, and so can Pat McAfee's. But Pat McAfee, it's a renting and leasing situation.
He's his own entity.
So if he leaves, he'll get picked up so fast.
He owns all his own IP. He owns all his own IP.
Which is why the O-line committee is going to blow up too, because we own our own IP. So
when ESPN
approaches us.
Dude, the best, did you see McAfee almost drop an F-bomb on game day?
Did he?
Oh, dude, he hadn't done game day in a while. The week before, it was on the first championship weekend, the Rose Bowl. And he was up there, he's like talking about someone from, I can't remember, Florida State or something. He's like, oh, yeah, that freaking guy. And he's like, oh, sorry, I haven't been here in a while. Like, I haven't been here in a while.
It's hard. It's amazing, man. It is hard.
Yeah. If you're, so on the Aaron Rodgers Jets front, just from like a football perspective.
Wrap it up, Mac. What do we got?
That first year.
Put a bow on it.
Couldn't have been more of a train wreck, right? Like, he tears his Achilles right away. The offensive line is still a mess. It's a circus off the field. You can tell he's now, based on what he said at the podium about, we got to clean up anything that doesn't have to do with winning. It's like, well, dude, look in the mirror. But he's clearly pissed about chemistry and distractions and everything else. Is there any way this thing just snaps back into place in year two? Or is this just destined for a complete and utter train wreck for the Jets? Are they going to bounce back and win 11 games and make a playoff run?
They have the talent to do it. They have the talent, and I think, you know, anytime you put a trigger man back there, if Aaron can recover fully from this Achilles in not 6 weeks, like, I think that he'll be fine. I think this team will be competitive. They're too talented to not be competitive all over, and Aaron's too good of a quarterback. I think he probably tones down some of the off-field stuff because he understands, you know, what it is. So I think he probably tones down some of the off-field stuff next year if he's healthy and he's on the field, and I don't think it's a Super Bowl contending team, but I think it's probably a playoff contending team.
Fair.
Okay.
You picked them to like win the Super Bowl earlier in the year, Alex, so be careful now.
They had Aaron Rodgers. What do you want me to do? I was like, dude, my body's great defense. I got Aaron Rodgers. Sounds amazing. Do I want to know what happens in the next 6 months? I sure do before I make a decision. You're in the New York media, and dude, I want to see what happens with this Jimmy Kimmel thing. Dude, I'm just like you. I'm popcorn all day waiting to see what happens. Who's going to go next?
I hope Rodgers crashes a Kimmel episode.
Dude, that would be...
And just like throw something at him from the audience.
Buys a ticket. I will say, I think, I actually disagree. You said that you think he's going to tone down some of the... I actually think he values the platform more than the actual... winning at this point. So
that's interesting.
He's such a narcissist. I asked you, have you, in 20 years, has he ever admitted that he's wrong about something? Has he ever said, you know what, that was my fault? Everything is always somebody else's fault. Everything is a fight. Everything is a broken relationship. In his life, he has a broken relationship with his parents, with his siblings. Like, he literally doesn't speak to anyone. Every 2 years, he's got a new girlfriend. Broken up, right? It's a trail of narcissistic, broken relationships.
Leo's the same way. Once they're 25, he just kicks them to the curb. So maybe he's just trying to be like Leo. He's trying to be like Leo DiCaprio, baby. Oh, you're 25, honey. Too old. Time to move on.
Leo.
Leo's going to be... George Clooney has been like that in this town, too. You know, I guess when you got options, I guess you...
The elites, man. The elites.
So, Fat guy fantasy time, boys.
Yes.
Yes.
Here we go. Your fat guy drum roll, fantasy please. Update. Okay.
Drum roll.
Come on now.
The next thing I flash on the YouTube channel screen here is going to be the final tally for the season. The last update we had was halfway through the season because it takes me forever to tally these up, right?
Yeah, the winner's getting a steak and a beer by the other two, right? Isn't that what we decided?
Yep. Steak and a beer.
Booney, who do you think? Jay thinks he wins.
I think I won. I had a surmountable lead halfway through the year.
I don't know, man.
You had a trash can lead.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't know. I have no idea. Show me.
All right, drum roll.
I'm so nervous.
Jeremiah
I want to recount.
This does not come close enough to qualify for a recount, unfortunately.
Yeah, I want
to
recount.
This is utter domination, fellas.
So here's how we do this for the audience that's maybe just ducking in, like, what the hell is Fat Guy Fantasy? We invented something that's going to blow up and make us all billionaires here, we think. It's called Fat Guy Fantasy Football, where we, at the beginning of the season, we drafted exclusively lineups of offensive and defensive linemen. So we all took six offensive linemen and I believe six or seven defensive linemen, and then a team offensive line and a team defensive line. And the scoring was based on pressures allowed generated, sacks allowed generated, fumbles forced, you know, and then for the team, it was basically rushing touchdowns and rushing yards and all those things. So Jeremiah, 804 points on the season. Congratulations. I had 613. Booney had 534. Let's call out some highlighted performances on the winning team.
I would Jeremiah love Searles. To know how this happened.
I had the 49ers run game, and I had the 49ers defense.
The 49ers run game generated 27 rushing touchdowns for you.
Yes. Yes.
The 49ers run stopping game held opponents to only 10 touchdowns. How about this, by the way, on the defensive side? So Jeremiah had Nick Bosa with 95 pressures, 14 sacks. Mm-hmm. Max Crosby, 94 pressures, 15 sacks. Aiden Hutchinson, 101 pressures, 11 sacks, 14 TFLs. Max Crosby had 23 TFLs, by the way. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Chargers, Raiders, if you're listening and you need your next GM, I'm only a phone call away. I'm just a phone call away.
Just sitting here waiting. On Team Boone, so Team Boone got its ass kicked, but I do want to highlight Trent Williams, who will be a first ballot Hall of Famer, for unquestionably. Sure. Trent Williams did not allow a sack all season for the 49ers, according to Pro Football.
So I am wondering how I came in last. I'm confused.
Yeah. So on defense, the problem for you was, you know, and this is where we have to make some tweaks for next year. We need to find a way to, like, if one of your players gets hurt.
Yeah, and that's
like
a big one.
Like Matthew, and
we have to be able to redraft, like pick up the waiver wire, right? The waiver wire needs to be a thing.
For you, Booney, on defense, like Quinnen Williams only had six sacks. Dexter Lawrence only had six sacks. You got smoked a little bit by the Jets defensive line.
They just gave
a lot of rushing yards.
Yeah.
For me, for my defense, Micah Parsons had 103 pressures and 16 sacks. TJ Watt had 17 and a half sacks.
RIP.
Danielle Hunter had 23 TFLs, but not good enough. So congratulations to Jeremiah, the first annual.
I'm not clapping for that.
You bow to me as your champion. Respect your champion.
You know, I'm gonna respect that steak, Harry and Izzy's. That's what I'm gonna respect.
We'll see.
So you guys want to make some picks?
Can you get a board, please, Mackie?
I know.
Put it on the list. Listen, we'll pay for it.
Hold on.
We'll put it on the company card. I want a whiteboard right in the back there.
Listen,
right next
Brute's
to your
got an extra
wall
whiteboard.
Art.
I'll give it to you.
I want whatever's next to your wall art behind you that your wife put up, and I want a steak and a beer tally. I want a running tally that we can just constantly look at, and you just turn around and put a little mark next to my name every time.
I think the first one is the one that you owe me for the Gophers beating Nebraska.
That was the first steak and a beer bet that I made.
Yep.
It's great. So, okay, let's make some picks here,
picks,
boys.
Picks.
We've got super, super wild card weekend. Games spanning across 3 days. We got the Monday night game here. So last week, because we missed, we were all kind of bouncing around holiday week. And so we made last week's the week 18 picks worth 2 points each. All of us went 3-1. So all of us went technically 6-2 because they're worth 2 points each. So I am 51-21 on the season, picking straight up. By the way, we just take close games and pick them straight up. Alex, 47-25. You're 4 games back. And Jeremiah, you are 44-28. You are 7 games back, but we have 6 wild card playoff games to go through here. We're picking straight up. We'll start with Browns at Texans, boys.
Who wants it?
I'll go first. I'm going to go Brownies. I think one of the things that we've always talked about is defense wins championships, and this defense is really, really good. I definitely think that D'Amico Ryans has earned a mic. Like, the dude has done phenomenal job his first year there, especially with the rookie quarterback. What C.J. Stroud has been able to do is fucking awesome. But I think they've lost some players, and I think that this is a new element, a new experience. And when you play a guy like Joe Flacco, who's won a Super Bowl, it's one of those things where it's like, hey, man, Houston had a great year, but I think the Browns all the way.
Yeah, I want to take Houston. I'm a big fan. I was rooting for the Jacksonville to lose so that Houston could host a playoff game. Like, I really was rooting for that because I think C.J. Stroud, hot take, he's going to be the MVP next year. Mm-hmm. I think C.J. Stroud is the MVP of the league next year.
Wow, dude. Wow. Right?
I really do. And so I wish they would, but I think if they could have stayed healthy going into the playoffs, then, you know, if they would have had Tank Dell and they would have had some of their players, Will Anderson could play every snap, right? They've lost too many pieces, and I think the stage is a little too big for them. This is going to be a great learning experience for them. This is going to be a great feather in their cap moving into next year, but Browns have just too much momentum, too much going on. I think the Browns win. I will say, if Flacco throws 3 interceptions, though, this game is going to be very interesting, but if Flacco can just deliver the ball like he has been, he'll be fine, but he's the X factor. If he turns the ball over, the Texans will absolutely have a chance.
I think the Browns are favored in this game, but I'm going against you guys here. I'm going to say, here's what I get. Home team for me. I get the better quarterback. We're all very much forgetting about the Joe Flacco we saw the 5 years previous. And we've seen flashes of him, right? He'll throw some bad interceptions. We broke down some Browns film last week, and it was that one throw off to the right side, kind of a 50-50 ball. I could see Joe Flacco on the road throwing 2 or 3 bad interceptions, and C.J. Stroud, if he's as good as you're saying, and I mean, he's definitely a top 10 quarterback right now. I agree with that. I'm going to take I think they're underdogs, but I will take the Texans to win with a rookie quarterback.
And I love that, Mackie, but you got to remember, when you're in a playoff situation, and I'm just saying this, the intensity goes way up. You feel it the minute you step on that field. And then you look over and see Myles Garrett, and you're like, this dude's turned. This guy knows how much he has to do today to get us to win.
Yeah.
Like, that's a scary thing.
They rested guys last week, so they're going to be fresh.
That's why
it's going to be a great game.
It's going to be a great game. Super sick.
Okay, Dolphins at Chiefs. I'll take this first let me pick first at least a few times because I'm winning. You guys can pick against me if you want to. The Dolphins just kind of, I don't know, man. Like, the Dolphins on the road, they feel a little fragile. They've had a couple. Like, they've lost a lot of games against better teams. I know the Chiefs aren't the version we've seen in the past, but I will take the Chiefs to get right and win a home playoff game here against kind of a fading Dolphins team.
Dolphins freeze. They freeze to death in 0-degree temperature. It's going to be
-5.
It's going to be real feel of like -19.
Let's go.
Because not only is it going to be cold, but welcome to the Midwest, Dolphins. The wind blows. And it blows hard. Oh, and yeah. it's going to be
swirling.
Think 2015 Vikings Seattle. Right?
I'd like rather that, not, actually.
That is going to be the type of game it's going to be.
Dude.
Like, cold, awful, miserable, and
27-yard
field goal. I give the nod to Isaiah Pacheco. I give the nod to Isaiah Pacheco, right? I think that their run game, like the Miami's had a good run game. People always were getting on me like, "Look, they're like the best rushing team." It's like, it's all explosives. Like, they're not a team that's just going to, like, methodically go 4 yards, 8 yards, 4 yards. Like, they're big, explosive plays. When it's windy like that, when it's cold like that, the ball doesn't fly quite the same. Like, it's dense. Like, they're not going to be the high-flying offense. I think Kansas City ruins Tyreek Hill's coming home party.
Wow, dude.
Booty. I'm obviously going Chiefs, too. And to be fair, I played in a polar vortex one time in
It's horrible.
Green Bay.
It's horrible.
And it was amazingly terrible. Like, the field so is bad. Ice. There is no footing. There is nothing. You're like, dude, I swear to God, if anyone slaps me today, it's I'm going to fight them. I'm going to fight them so fast because your skin just freezes so fast. My fingers turn to icicles. Like, it's a new world. And then you talk about
Joe Berger after the 15 game had frostbite on the tips of his fingers as a center because he didn't wear a glove because he was snapping. He had literal, like, he said he didn't get feeling his fingers till like March.
What?
I'm telling you, man. And and you come from Miami and you're coming up to play in that. It's another world. We talked about
Your blood's real thin. Your blood's thin down in Miami right now.
That's going to suck. Yeah, I'm going Chiefs.
So we're all going Chiefs there. Okay, Steelers at Bills. This is probably a quick one, right?
Go Bills,
no
baby.
TJ Watt.
Go Bills. No TJ Watt. Right. Mason Rudolph's your quarterback. Like, I'm sorry. Great. Hey, Mike Tomlin.
Nice job.
Hats
nice job.
Off to you
Great
again.
Job.
You found a way to make chicken salad out of chicken shit again. Yep. Like, hats off to you, dude. But the Bills are back, and the Bills are not the team you want to run into in the playoffs right now.
Yeah. No. Booty Bills, right? Okay. Let's go Packers at Cowboys.
Ooh.
I'll go first. Give me the Packers.
What?
Give me the Packers.
Jay.
I'm here for the Jay. Cowboys.
Do you know what
closing.
You're doing? Oh, are you willing to pay Jay. For this steak and beer?
I know. I might get this one wrong. But until the Cowboys can prove to me they can get out of the first round of the playoffs and not fully implode, give me the Packers.
Okay, Mackie, here we go. We're just going to take a bigger lead. I'm obviously going Cowboys.
Yeah,
me too. I'm sorry. I think the Cowboys right now, they got – I agree. The Lions game, they should have lost it. But at the same time, they did it. And momentum is momentum. And when you're at home, I'm sorry, CeeDee Lamb.
Jair Alexander's going to lock him down, baby. He's going to go out for the coin toss.
I was going to say, is he going to go out and go, hey, defense? We want to go defense first.
Well, this is probably a bad take. Listen, this is probably a bad take, but we got to make this interesting. I can't just agree with you all the time. Hey,
the minute that game starts, you know LaFleur's going to be looking at him like, don't move. Don't you fucking move.
Just sit there. All right.
Listen, the Packers have been pretty good down the stretch here.
They have.
They're going to give him a game. And listen, until Dak can prove to me that he can't crumble in the spotlight, and he's done a well job just here, but like, some of those games come back and you're like, what's happening? Right? He's shown just enough cracks in the armor that he's not the guy I'm willing to throw the farm behind and say they're going all the way. He can be that guy. But historically, epic collapses, man.
Yeah. Also, too, it's, you know, and this is from a Vikings perspective here, too. It's like this conundrum of, should you move off? Be careful moving off Kirk Cousins. Oh, man, you might ruin the franchise, right? First of all, that's a whole, you can find all my rants on Purple Daily for that. But the Packers literally moved off Aaron Rodgers, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And 5 minutes later, they were better and back in the playoffs.
Yeah. I was almost going to do that as my mic, but I figured you had been tired of talking about it all week. So we can talk about the Vikings train wreck.
We can do
later.
It at any given time in the next couple weeks, for sure. Okay, Rams at Lions might be the, not might be, is the premier
it's
game.
It's the
on
biggest
schedule, right?
Everybody's
biggest
waiting
game
for
the weekend.
Dude, it's going to be
Stafford,
so awesome.
Going back to Detroit. This is so
They're
tough, man.
They're playing hot, dude. The Rams are hot right now. Hot.
And the Lions have what? Is it one playoff win in 50 years? Like the Lions, until the Lions start to rack up some credibility, you still kind of feel like, oh, man, I don't know.
And the Lions, if there's one place they're a little soft at, it's the corner position.
Yeah, and Stafford
and you've got
is going to
Stafford,
hit those
Puka
dudes.
Nacua, the best rookie receiver ever. You can say that now. He was the best rookie receiver ever. Cooper Kupp, Tyler Higbee.
I'll go first so you guys can pick against me if you want to. I'm taking the Rams on the road here.
I love
the Lions, dude. I love the Lions. And I'm actually rooting now that the Vikings are out of the mix and they've done their duty and they've tanked for the 11th pick. I'm rooting for the Lions. But I think the Rams are a different team than they were 2 months ago, man.
Go Booney.
All right.
It's the toughest game.
It really is tough because when you
so hard. The house that Matthew built.
I know. All right, listen. I think this is going to be a great game, and I am so excited to watch this, especially because Stafford coming home is just going to be more electric than anyone knows. But I can't go against Dan Campbell at home. I'm sorry. And I know that Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, but I just think that Aiden Hutchinson, we just talked about it, 101 pressures. Like if you can stop the run, and get a little bit of pressure on Stafford and get to him. I'm not saying it's going to be effective because that dude's tough as fuck, but it's going to be your only weapon to stop him. And at the same time, dude, I do think you guys are sleeping a little bit on the Lions. Like, their run game, their 1-2
punch.
No
one's sleeping on the Lions.
I know. I'm just saying. Like,
we love the Lions.
I know. I'm just saying. I'm going Lions on this. Here we go. Let's go. Come on, dude.
I'm going with the home team. I'm giving the home team the nod. Strictly because it's home. If this is in L.A., it's a runaway. I pick L.A. But, man, I saw, like, the Detroit ticket price to go through. Like, that place is going to be insane.
Yep.
Right? But the only issue is L.A. is used to playing on the road because every home game is also a road game. Right? Like, being on the road, like, they don't know what home field advantage is because L.A. is the worst fan base in America. And so, like, they're going to go in there, like, the script writers at the beginning of the season wrote this beautifully, right? Like, Matthew comes back to the house that he built to try and ruin the Lions' magical season. But I think as long as they can keep Stafford off the field, right? And that goes back to your point, Booney, right? The 1-2 punch with Jahmyr Gibbs and Montgomery, getting Amon-Ra St. Brown the football going. But I haven't heard, and I will probably know more today since we're recording Wednesday, the Laporta injury is huge. Like, if he can't go, if Sam Laporta can't go, that's a massive, massive blow to that offense. Like, that could be a difference maker if he can't play.
Here's what's going to happen in this game, all right? So I'm going to win. You guys just sealed your fate here. I'm going to win. The Rams are going to win this game. So, and Jay brought it up. The secondary, Matthew Stafford is going to pick apart that. The Lions are going to have to score 38 points to win this game, right? And maybe it is a track meet shootout. But the Rams are going to beat the Lions. Jared Goff is going to throw three terrible interceptions. And Lions fans and the organization after the game are going to say to themselves, boy, everything is in place if we only had a quarterback like Matthew Stafford instead of Jared Goff.
I worry that the Lions are going to talk themselves into a 2017 Vikings scenario where they're like, we have to sell the farm to get a quarterback. Right, we have to sell the farm to get our guy.
You know, another guy,
and move on, and maybe move on, and then
homecoming
all of a sudden,
for Kirk-y
here comes
boy.
Kirk Cousins.
Kirk Cousins.
Here comes Kirk Cousins to Detroit.
Uh-oh.
Hot take. Dude. You heard it here first.
Hey. Can't wait to get that.
I could easily see that.
I'm gonna move outside, boys. I got the ocean. I got a lake behind me. I'm gonna move outside for our next podcast. I'm doing.
Did you just say ocean?
You should. You go up there right now.
I'm in Orlando. I'm in a lake. It's actually a lake. Right. Should I go out?
I'll go up there right now. Orlando. Yeah.
Hold on. Okay.
While you walk out
there, tee up.
Let's pick Eagles, the fading train wreck Eagles at the Buccaneers.
Who's going first here? Are you going first?
Go ahead. Fire away. Go ahead.
I don't think 7 weeks ago I would have been thinking like this. I mean, I think at 10-1, they looked really dominant. But what's happened to the Philadelphia Eagles over the last couple of weeks has been insane. Dude, I'm not like – it's been a minute. Oh, that is such a pretty picture, dude. My goodness. Look at that palm tree in the back. Look at the palm tree in the back. God, that's such a ding. Ding. Like,
Jay looks winded from walking across the Airbnb.
Right? That was a lot.
It's kind of cold. It's 51 degrees out here, boys. It's a little chilly.
I think
that Jeremiah will agree with me. What's happened to Philly the last 7 weeks has been insane and unprecedented. Like, they've just fallen so hard
in Philadelphia are calling for Nick Sirianni to potentially be fired if they lose this game to the Buccaneers.
Here's the problem. People don't understand this. Philly is insane about their teams. Like, as insane as you think they are, they are 10 times more worse than you think. And Howie Roseman will not put up with any bullshit. There is zero nonsense. And if he thinks that the people of the city aren't happy, you better believe he's going to be like, these are my people. I'm going to make them happy. But at the same time, you go from the number one seed, like the juggernauts of the league, to now everybody's like, dude, what the hell is going on? You guys can't do anything. Turning the ball over, everything's going crazy. Dude, you guys lost to the Giants. And everybody laughed at me when I was like, well, I could easily see the Panthers coming out and beating who'd they play the last game? Panthers were playing
Tampa. Division. Tampa. Yeah.
They're playing Tampa. I was like, I could easily see them coming out and beating Tampa and just because it's one more game. The Giants just did that. They literally were like, hey, if you think we're gonna lose this last goddamn game, you're crazy. We're gonna go out and punch these dudes in the mouth. And now it's got everyone turning around going, what the hell is going on? Here's an even bigger crazy thing. I'm about to turn around and give this game to Baker Mayfield. Can you fucking believe that? I can't.
You're taking Tampa?
I have to. Do you want to know why? Do you want to know why?
This is juicy.
Because when you see a train wreck in December, do you think it gets better in January?
I know.
I'm just asking you. We've talked about the momentum. You need that momentum. You need to turn around because you're going to get fucking checked week one by somebody. And you need to turn around and go, yeah, we beat the shit out of those 14 teams. Who the fuck do you think you are talking to me like that? But when you turn around and you're like, oh boy, here we go. We lost to the Giants going into this thing.
Like, no, AJ Brown. AJ Brown's been ruled out.
Dude, we lost to the Cardinals.
They benched Jalen Hurts at halftime of their last game. A game in which they were trying to win.
His finger that's like broken, and it's like, dude, what are we doing anymore? The defense can't stop anything. The whole scenario of one coach leaving and another taking over, and it's just progressively gotten worse and worse every week. And it's like, now you're going to go play a team in Tampa that's won 6 of the last 7. Remember, once you walk into the playoffs, everybody's a good team. Everybody is looking. It doesn't matter. I know for a fact because we played the Giants 1 year and they were 9-7, and we were like, what a joke. We lost.
Well, the records don't matter.
They don't give a shit. You walked into the dance, dude.
Yeah, you're in the dance.
You're in the party, and you're like, hey, I'm here.
So Booney's got bucks.
Oh, I'm going.
Booney's got bucks. I'll let you pick last year, Jay.
Yep.
Everything about this game screams. To me, the Eagles have to bounce back, right? With a big question mark. And I'm trying to sort of, you look at Eagles next to Buccaneers at any point over the last 2 seasons in a matchup. I don't care if it's in Tampa Bay. It could be literally in Canada for all I care. The Eagles are levels above the Buccaneers at every point the last 2 years. But that doesn't matter. It's what do they look like in the last month? Like you said, dude, AJ Brown, the injury That's for great. Him. I want to say that the Eagles rise up like the Undertaker for one last choke slam, and then maybe they walk in and get smoked in the second round. Like, that's, I'm going to pick the Eagles. I'm talking myself into it, knowing it's probably going to be wrong. But like,
you sound like a Philly fan.
I can't compute Buccaneers beating Eagles in the first round of the playoffs. So I'm going to take the Eagles with less confidence than any game I've picked all season so far.
Oh, this is so hard.
It's a free point for you, AJ.
I know. I don't know. I don't know if I... The only thing that's making me lean Tampa is there's still some dudes on that team that were on that Super Bowl run.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of dudes on the team that were on that Super Bowl run that understand what it took to get there and understood the process in which they went through to make that run. Same can be said about Philly, but I think there's more galvanization of the Tampa Bay locker room than there is division in the Philly locker room right now. So I'm with you, Boone.
I knew it.
I'm going to go Mike Evans. I'm going to go Chris Godwin. I'm going to go Rashad White. Like, I'm going to give it to those dudes. I think that the Tampa O-line has rose to the occasion time and time again, right? You have Tristan Wirfs. You have Gedecky, Cody Mock, the rookie out of North Dakota State. Like, all those dudes have been playing good football all year. They're going to rely on the run game. And I think that if you can get a lead on Philly, they could start to unravel a little bit. Like, I think that's going to be Tampa's, like, hey, let's start fast. Let's not let them feel like they can be the Undertaker, right? Hey, you're the same team we've saw for the last 7 weeks. Right, get your ass back in the coffin. Like, I think I'm gonna go with Tampa. I'm gonna roll with Tampa, and I'm not super confident about this pick either, Mackie. Like, I'm not like, oh yeah, but like, I think Tampa right now, gun to my head, they got to win.
Dude, amazing. So wow, we've got some discrepancies here. I like
this.
This
is
man.
It. Hey, Searles,
Packers,
this is where we
Packers, baby.
Oh,
the Packers
are
coming.
The Packers. I forgot. Never mind. You're both going down.
The thing I love too is whatever it was 5 years ago, 4 years ago. The NFL has brilliant marketing executives, right? They look around the 12-month schedule and they're like, okay, how can we own like the middle of May? And someone says, what if? So everyone already knows who they're playing. What if we did a primetime special unveiling the order in which they play those teams, right? We'll call it schedule release primetime, right? And somebody in a room said, wild card weekend, all right? It's kind of, divisional weekend is kind of the peak, and then you got conference championship. How can we make wild card weekend more special? And someone said, what if we called it super wild card weekend and put one of the games on Monday. Huh? Super, we can own 3 days and we'll call it super wild card weekend. And I am freaking hooked.
Sold.
That guy got a promotion for sure.
Do it.
Dude, side note, totally hilarious. Not really. I got, so maybe TMI, when I went and got my vasectomy this summer, the people told me, they're like, why are you doing this in the summer? I was like, what are you talking about? They're like, there's nothing on to watch for TV. I go, what do you mean? They go, dude, wild card weekend, super wild card weekend.
Masters booked. Weekend.
Yeah. They go, we're booked like 4 days straight, just slicing nuts.
Yep.
Like, cause it's like, it's just everyone just wants to sit in front of their TV. I was like, it's a good idea. It's not a bad idea at all. Like, let's just do wild card weekend. So, hey, shout out to all you dads out there with ice on your balls. No more kids. Good for you, man. You made the plunge. Enjoy super wild card weekend. I know there's a lot of you. I know there's a lot of you out there. Yeah, there you're is. All just told me.
I'm Googling best vasectomy weekends here. And
I promise you, super wild card weekend is going to be the one. It's going to be one. God, this took a turn.
Super Wild Card Weekend.
This took a weird turn.
Mount Rushmore. Super Wild Card Weekend. Rushmore. I don't know if you guys are golf fans, but Masters Weekend, Thursday Masters through weekend. Sunday. Any of those majors, right? U.S. Open, you know, the British Open. Get up early. Put some
March Madness.
Ice on
March
your nuts.
Dude, the first weekend of March Madness. That'd be a good one, right? First 100%. Weekend of March Madness. What's another good one? Man. Oh, the opening week of the hockey playoffs. There's hockey just like, every single night. Stacked. Like multiple games stacked. Those would be my Mount Rushmore.
Oh, man. There it is, kids. Wait, there's some life advice for you there. The best weekends to get vasectomies. Hey, let's do like I got two dumb football questions for you because we still have to do a film breakdown of the Eagles and see if
there was just so much to talk about this week. We had to go long. We had to go long. There's just so much to talk about.
Dude, and this is going to be because I mean, we're still going to do film reviews in the offseason, but like the next few months with free agency, with you guys are going to be at the combine, draft.
I can't wait for draft.
I'm going to be on the road for every pod. Next week, I'm in Minneapolis. The week after that, I'm going to be in Texas. Like, dude, I'm full moving, rocking and rolling here, and I'm gonna be a lot nicer places than y'all.
Yeah, well, you are like the it looks like a green screen fake background behind him right now.
Can we do one from the combine, please?
Yeah,
100%. We gotta do one.
100%. I mean, we have to. Yes.
Yeah, I think that's it's gonna be so fun.
Dumb football questions.
Crazy life.
Dumb football questions. Here's one from Dan Henneman. What do you guys think of the XFL-USFL merger? So they merged into one spring league entity called, is it the United Football League, right?
Yeah, UFL.
What do you guys think
of
this? I got a
couple clients in it. I like it. I am kind of sad that so what happened was they merged, right? But so what really happened was eight teams went away, right? Because there was eight USFL, there was eight XFL teams. And so there was a lot of guys that had opportunities. Now, I will say the quality and the level of football was not very good.
Yeah.
And I think that's why they decided, like, we need to cut this down and get the really talented players. And I think the NFL backed it a little bit, right? They didn't, like, throw all their weight behind it, like, yeah, we'll help this. Like, they backed it just enough to be like, yeah, we'll get some guys. And, I mean, I tell clients all the time, like, and my partner, Zach Zenner, he says it great, too. He's like, if you get cut out of the NFL as a rookie, why wouldn't you want to go make some money actually playing football, right? And get some tape out there and get film. Because if you get cut out of a rookie season and you only have maybe 50 snaps to your name in the entire preseason, it's hard to get back in the NFL. But if you can go play a full year and dominate in a league like that, you're going to get a shot. Yep. Like, especially at the premier positions, right? Receiver, corner, tackle.
What do the highest paid players in those leagues, like XFL, USFL,
100 plus, maybe 100
plus,
maybe.
Like, would it be worth
it? Which isn't bad.
If you're like, for
3 months of work,
it's awesome.
Like a Jaren Hall, like these rookie guys that come in. Would the NFL teams ever allow those guys?
No.
To go in and get reps?
No. Then that's the thing that's going to be always tricky is the NFL will always separate itself from everything else. And if you're signed into the NFL, you're not allowed to do anything else. That is
it. In your contract. It's in your contract.
Like, yeah, you're not allowed to go play anywhere else. You're not allowed to play any all-star games. You're not allowed to do any nonsense, like stuff like that. I love this idea, though, because it is still trying to develop people. And I think it's still an opportunity. I agree with Jay, and that's what I was going to say was I think they looked around and they were like, hey, there's too many teams and we don't have enough money. Whereas we should just merge this together, combine all of our resources, and continue to develop players. Because when I came into the league, they had the NFL Europe. And that's when guys would go over to the NFL Europe, and they'd play, and then they'd come back over here. And then they got rid of it. And so then all of a sudden everybody was like, well, if you don't make it, you don't make it. So I love it. And I think that Jay's right. I think that if you're a young, I don't even say rookie, if you're a young player, year one, two, maybe even three, and you still want to keep playing, you don't want to go make $75,000, $100,000 playing football for 3 months, messing around, like just having fun, building connections. And that's what people don't understand. You're never going to sell anybody unless you have film and a coach standing behind you that knows someone that goes, this kid's worth it, right? You have to go in there and prove that to them. You have to show them I'm committed. I'm dedicated. Nothing says I'm dedicated by playing semi-pro football and saying, hey, I want to be here with you guys. I want to learn more. Teach me more. And I say this to guys in the gym when they ask me, like, hey, what do you think I should do? I'm like, listen, I think if anything, you should go build connections. You should go see what Coach Stoops says. You should go in and shake his hand and talk to him. And then all of a sudden, there's a connection for you. He's going to go reach out to his friends when he sees you putting in work, and he's going to go, hey, this guy's a fucking grinder. You're going to love him. That's it. Guess what? I don't need to see any tape. If I'm a GM or a coach and I have a trusted friend that calls me and goes, hey, you're going to love this guy, bring him on.
Goes a long way.
Here we go. Yeah.
That's I like
this
it.
League is it's,
now it's the awesome. Merger's been an absolute shit show. Like, I mean, total shit show.
Does the Rock still kind of well, own like, it? Or...
Think about it on this front. Like, the USFL has like a players' union and like all that stuff. The XFL did not. Right. So now you're talking about merging unions and merging coaches' union, and like it's been a shit show. And like they have like these dispersal drafts, and like it's been a nightmare. Like once it gets off and running, I think it'll be better. The thing I don't love about it, this is like my one qualm. I loved the XFL schedule because the XFL schedule, the season ended in May. So that allowed guys to have a full year of tape, and then teams could pick guys up for OTAs, right? And you could bring them in the building right when all the rookies got there, and they'd have a fresh start to really try and go make a push to make this team. The USFL schedule ends in like June and July. And so guys are going to get picked up and just thrown straight into training camp.
Right.
It's tough. A long haul to make when you haven't been there through all the installs of OTAs and all the player stuff, and you just get thrown right into training camp. That's a harder road to hoe to make a team. But the good news is you should be in shape like coming in, but you're going to be beat up from a season. Like, I just don't love the timing. I wish that the USFL would have adopted the XFL schedule of getting guys ready so they could get thrown in there for OTAs in the summer program.
You know, I've wondered too, like the NBA does a summer league for the non-veteran players. You have to be 2 years experience less, or it's guys that like they fill out the rosters with guys who are just kind of tryout players. And it becomes this mecca. It's like a 3-week sort of tournament pool play in Las Vegas. It becomes league meetings, everything. And I've wondered if the NFL, because, you know, in the offseason, you guys have 90-man rosters. There's a bunch of dudes that aren't going to have any shot at actually making a 53. If they would ever, even for entertainment purposes, if the NFL would do like a 4-week summer league or something from, you know, late May to late June, or if it would just be too much of an injury
too much risk. And
not only that, but June to July, like once you break from OTAs, they are literally like, do whatever you need to do for the next 3 weeks, because after that there are no more days off. No more days. So if you were about to tell a coach like, hey, I need you to come coach in this, he'd be like, fuck you, dude, I'm going on vacation. Like, you're not gonna see me for another year. Leave me
imagine your second round pick rolls his ankle in the fourth week of the summer league, and he's going to miss all of training camp, and he's going to miss the first 2 weeks of the season. It's just not even worth it.
Yeah. Yep. All right. We got to run here because we got to do a
one more
breakdown.
Oh, one more. One more. We'll do it quick. Okay, we'll be quick. I promise.
Okay. That's what he said.
So I tell my wife. Yeah. I knew you were going to go there. Yeah. I'll be quick. I promise. I need 2 minutes of your time. I just need 2 minutes of your time.
I need like 25 seconds. Zuby 2000 says, as fans, we look at playoff brackets and hope to avoid certain teams. It's because you're a coward, Zuby. No, I'm just kidding.
Cowards.
Yeah.
Cowards.
As a Ravens fan, I'm terrified of the Browns. I don't want to play the Browns in the playoffs. Do players care about matchups in the playoffs? Do they look to avoid certain teams? Are you cowards?
So you don't look to avoid anyone, but I will say this: playing your divisional team in playoffs is tough.
It's a third time.
It's tough. A third game is a total coin flip. Because especially when like you've split, because they did. They're the only team. Dorian Thompson Robinson is the only quarterback in the division that took down the Ravens. Mm-hmm. Right. And like you're so familiar with each other and you know how each other tick and you know it's not that you're afraid. It's just if you draw a divisional matchup like quickly in the playoffs, like it just, it turns into more of a, it doesn't matter who was the better team or not. Those games are total coin flips. It's just like the end of last season, at the end of the season, right? Like Panthers, Bucks, right? Like you look at like Detroit and Minnesota, like those divisional games are always such coin flips because you're so familiar with each other and you just know everything about each other. So yeah, it's a tough draw, but that's what makes it so fun. Yeah.
I agree. And I think that if you see a Ravens Browns game in the playoffs, like in the conference championship, dude, inject it into my veins. It's just like Jake. It, when you're in the season and you're playing a conference team, you like the minute this game comes up, you pull out an old notebook and you're just like, I got every note from years of what these guys, I have every one of their blitzes, what this guy does. And then all of a sudden you go into the playoffs and you're like, scrap everything. Everything's out the window because it's win at all costs. So you're not even thinking logically at the end of the game. You're literally just like whatever it takes to win. So it really is. That's the only thing you don't want to see in playoffs. Other than that, that is never talked about. It's never like, oh God, we got to play the Rams. Oh God, are we going to play the Houston? Like you're just like, God, I've seen these guys twice. They know everything about me. Are we going to get creative
from an individual level too? Right? You're like, this dude knows how I pass
me with
set.
That move again.
Like this dude, like I gave up a sack in week six to this move. Maybe he's going to. Like, you can overthink it like crazy.
Chasing ghosts. Oh, it's the worst.
So it's less about like, oh my God, that they won 13 games and scored 56 points.
Oh no! Like
about,
I said, we're all in the
about
dance.
The chess match.
Records
and the
are out. Yeah. Records are way out. Nobody even cares anymore. It's like, hey, this must be a great team. They're doing something well, their defense is playing lights out, their offense is playing well, they're not turning the ball over, like everybody's here for a reason. And now you just stop and go, what do we do well? But yeah, you see a conference team for a third time, it's terrible.
Boom. All right, boys, that's our longest episode we've ever done of the O-Line
great
podcast.
Look at Jay sweating at this point.
No, it's kind of cold out here. I'm a little chilled.
Are you gonna stay out there for the Eagles film review too?
Gaming. We'll see. TBD. TBD.
Let's get used to that Florida weather, Eagles. Maybe it's the last place that you reside this season. We'll see. All right. Hey, appreciate you guys for getting us to 15,000 YouTube subscribers. Also, if you could click the subscribe button, 5-star rating, positive review on the Apple and Spotify podcast feeds, you can help us grow the O-Line Committee. We'll see.
Go buy merch.
That's olinecommittee.com for all your pancake shirts.